Welcome in, everyone. I was talking with a good friend of mine the other day who's in real estate. She's a real estate agent. And she's renting out homes, selling homes. She's selling land. And she's really connected in her community through real estate. But that's not her main job. That's her second job. Her first job, her main job is serving as a, she works as a disaster leader with a large nonprofit. But this is a lot more common than we think. And give me 15 minutes here because I want to talk about second jobs and side hustles in the nonprofit space. Be sure to follow me on Instagram, TikTok. I am starting a YouTube channel. I swear it. This is the season. We're back in full effect. As I'm recording this podcast, I have my setup right here. I think I'll get to a point where I can do the podcast. I can record the podcast and do the video at the same time, but I'm not quite there yet. And I might not want to do it. Sometimes the energy just needs a little bit different. And when I'm doing a podcast like I'm doing right now, I want that to be my focus. So give me 15 minutes, but follow me on all of those and be sure to subscribe. Seriously. If you haven't subscribed, subscribe to the podcast and leave me a review. As much as I like people that subscribe, that's important. I actually really love when people leave me a review. So leave me a review. I'd appreciate it. And let's start with this. It's established in the nonprofit space that the money that is made is less. It's a known fact. Data reports from job surveys, the Bureau of Labor Statistics prove year after year, over and over and over again, that nonprofit workers make less money. Anywhere in the span of 4% to 7% less money than their for-profit counterparts. Some people know this as the nonprofit wage penalty. I've heard that phrase before. I don't hear it mentioned a whole lot, but for people that really study in this space, the nonprofit wage penalty is something that can cross the minds of many people in this sector. This is a known fact. This is understood. And yet for workers in the nonprofit space, having a second job or a side hustle is kind of like the Wild West. Organizations have different rules. Organizations have different policies. I mean, just across the board, it can be, every organization can be different and it can be frowned upon by organizations or leaders and people in the nonprofit space. And a large piece of second jobs and side hustles are rooted in capitalism. And honestly, if it's not even that it's a large piece, it's probably the largest piece. And when you look at the change in dynamics of money and pay, specifically in Western worlds, I can't really speak in different societies across the world. When we're talking Western society, the EU, United Kingdom, Australia, Japan, we talk about the United States, and specifically I'm talking about the United States, the pay that we see workers getting is less and less and less. Because across all industries, we're seeing workers get a smaller piece of the pie. You can't argue with me. You can't argue with it anymore. It's inarguable at this point. When you look at the data points, the amount of really, really rich people keeps ballooning, and the people that don't have as much are less and less and less. So since we're seeing less and less and less, and with many people in the nonprofit space experiencing 4, 5, 6, 7% less, 10% less than people in the for-profit space, we also have to acknowledge that many people in the nonprofit space don't have as good of a health care. Health insurance can be not as good. They're not unionized. The PTO is limited, if at all. Benefits, period, tend to be less or non-existent in the nonprofit space. And here are some more facts. 39% of Americans work second jobs at any given point of the year. That was from a study done in 2024. I need to put the links in the notes so people can know where I'm getting my sources. 39% of Americans are working second jobs. That number in 2017 was 19%. So in the span of 8 years, the number of people with second jobs has doubled. And you don't have to look far to see it. We see this in so many spaces, right? I see people that Uber Eats on the side. I know for a while, I don't know if it's still around. I assume it's still around. I know for a while in the early 2010s, I would work my job as a car salesman. And then at night I would do catering. That was to help get in a little bit extra money when I was really getting my career started. Fiverr was really big, where people were saying, if you have a skill, put it online and people will pay you $5 to do that task. Sometimes it was simple editing, like maybe doing grammar editing, copy editing for, say, every two pages, you pay me $5 to edit. But sometimes it was more. Sometimes it was like, hey, I'll create and design you some type of image for $5. Fiverr, right? So when you look at the direction society has been going, things are moving faster and faster and faster, right? Thomas Friedman, he was made famous with his book, The World is Flat. Love that book. It's a really good book. And there's more competition now than ever before, right? Over the last 30 years, we have heard over and over and over again to improve your skills. Improve your skills, get better education, take more educational courses, get certified in X, Y, and Z. And some of it was we always want to improve. I think that's just human nature. You want to get better. I mean, no one wants to be stagnant. You know, if you're dating someone and they don't want to get better, then why are you dating that loser? You know, you're like, come on, get off your ass. But a lot of it was coming from also the for-profit space and industry leaders saying, hey, you're really good at this, but we want you to get more education. We got people from places like China, India, Pakistan. And that's not to say that global competition is bad or that the ideas of other people in the world getting in on capitalism is bad. That's not what I'm saying, right? Don't mistake me. But when you look over the last 3 or 4 decades and continuously hear and see the idea of more, 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 it's not surprising that it led many people to either feel a need to get second jobs because you literally can't make ends meet. If you are $5,000 short every 6 months, you need, for a lot of people, to get a second job to make ends meet. Or like many people I think right now are really, really feeling, for those people that aren't working second jobs, you feel a need to have a side hustle. A side hustle to stay current, to stay connected, to continuously improve. Anything like that. And I myself am in that boat. When I was thinking about coming up with the Nonprofit Insider podcast, I thought so much to myself, I want to talk about this space, but self-servingly, I need to stay current. I need to stay connected to this industry because people are always getting laid off. There's always more people entering into this space. There are a lot of people who have master's degrees, doctorate degrees. I have a bachelor's. I'm very grateful for that. But there are a lot of people that have multiple bachelor's that have one or two master's degrees. I don't have those. So you're trying to compete with those people, right? You're trying to stay current. You don't want to get left behind. You want to make sure that you're able to pay your bills and have a nice car to drive and take your kids on vacation and all that stuff. And at this point, side hustles are everywhere. And we can't blame people for having second jobs or side hustles because so much of it is rooted in capitalism. So many of it is rooted in capitalism. And many of us, here's a little bit of an analogy where I think it really, it signifies in so many ways, getting second jobs and side hustles, because look at it like this. Many of us like sports, right? We like sports, or we like Netflix. I just finished listening to watching that Unknown Number. That was a cool documentary on Netflix. That was crazy. I'm not going to spoil it if you haven't listened to it. That was crazy, right? But we like music. We like sports. We like pop culture. We like authors. And many of those people have side hustles. It's called endorsements. LeBron James, his main job is as a basketball player. He is a basketball player for the Los Angeles Lakers in the NBA, the National Basketball Association. That's his main job. That's what he's known for, being an amazing basketball player. But he's also a spokesperson for Nike, sports gambling apps, GMC, the Hummer, Upper Deck. He's done endorsements with State Farm Insurance, Pepsi, Coke. I mean, just all whatever you can think of, him, Messi, when you go to actors and actresses, Jennifer Lawrence, Julia Gardner, Tom Holland, Denzel Washington. So many of the most famous people in the world, they have their main job, and yet they have a second job. So why can't the everyday worker also do that? And that's what I mean about second jobs and side hustles in the nonprofit space. It's the Wild West. And let me end with this. Nonprofit organizations have to get off their high horse when it comes to second jobs and side hustles. I think organizations can do themselves a favor by getting ahead of this through, you know, having organizational policies where appropriate, talking with the proper individuals, probably lawyers, HR managers, right? And not restricting nonprofit workers from having side hustles or second jobs. Now, there's going to be times where it comes into conflict, right? Because a line can be crossed. During the height of the pandemic, we saw people working 2, 3, 4 remote jobs, and they were not doing a good job, right? You're getting paid by an organization, sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars, sometimes just thousands of dollars to do a job. But in the same 8 hours, you're trying to do multiple jobs. Okay, listen, at that point, I understand. I'm always going to support the worker, but there are times where it's like you're getting kind of ridiculous because you're not really getting us to where we need to go, all right? This is how you start to go from being super liberal to conservative. You're like, all right, come on now. Really, we're crossing the line. This is crazy. So I think organizations would do themselves a favor by having policies in line. But you don't have to be super strict. You have to allow your workers the ability to make ends meet flat out and grow and challenge themselves. And then we're in a world where it used to be one of the earliest forms of side hustles was consulting. And even then, there were a lot, I know there's a lot of great books out there that when consulting really, really started to take off in like the 20s and 30s, a lot of industry leaders were saying, hey, you're stealing money from me, or you're working with competitors or people in the same industry. When I do this podcast, I know there's a risk, right? Because I still have a main job. There's still things I do on the daily. But with that said, I need to put myself in a position to take care of myself, because so much of the capitalism society says you are your own worker. You are your own industry. Well, if I work for a large nonprofit organization and they have multiple people that they work with in industries or different groups that they work with, they're covering their bases. So why, as we as workers, can't we do the same thing? So I think some policies are a smart idea, but people really, nonprofit organizations really need to ensure they have people in the conversation. And I don't just mean lawyers and HR managers, right? I mean having managers, having everyday workers. That's why you have a board. That's an advantage, where you have a board that can really help you in those types of spaces where appropriate. But in most instances, people are simply trying to survive. And it's a jungle out there right now. And we need to stop punishing people for having second jobs or side hustles along the way, because more often than not, people are really just trying to get by.